Good evening. It's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim. This is Rabbi Bravender. We're going to learn a little bit about the parasha of Yitro, more specifically about Yitro himself. Before we start, I want to thank Gail and David Ehrlich for dedicating this shiur. I haven't seen you in a long time, Gail and David. Probably my fault. In any event, thanks again. Yitro. Who was he? Who was he? And if I asked the question in a kind of Hasidic manner, I would say, how come the parsha is named Yitro? I mean, Yitro just joined up. He didn't go through Yitziat Mitzrayim. He didn't suffer the anguish that the members of the Jewish people suffered. He wasn't enslaved. He wasn't frightened by the Egyptians who chased after the people in Yam Suf, when the sea was split. He wasn't part of the war against Amalek. None of those things. Yitro, I mean, he just showed up. Okay, he was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, and that might be an indicator. It might be. But we don't know for sure who he was. And yet the parasha of Matan Torah, arguably the most important, difficult, particular parasha in the Torah, is named after him and not after Moshe Rabbeinu, who certainly deserved it. And even if you say, as we've said in the past, that the name of the parasha is not necessarily of great significance. That you name the parasha after the first important word in the first pasuk. Right, so the first parasha in the Torah is called Breshit, Breshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. First important word, Breshit. The second parasha in the Torah is called Noach, Ele toldot Noach. Considered the third, but most important pasuk. It's the pasuk about Noah, the parasha about Noah. But the parasha of Yitro is not about Yitro, it's about Moshe Rabbeinu. And the first pasuk in the Yitro says, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Moshe Chotein Moshe. Now, if you juggle the words around a little, you could put the word Moshe in a more obvious place. And you could say, Chotein Moshe, Yitro, Shama. Right? You could say something like that. And Moshe, the word Moshe would be first. And then the word Moshe would be the one that becomes the name. But okay, I can see you're a little skeptical of this analysis. So fine. I won't push it. What does the first pasuk say? It says, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe et kol asher asa Elokim leMoshe uli Yisrael. Vayishma Yitro, Rashi says, Mashmua Shema Uba. Let me get, since I have it, why not get it? Good. Vayishma Yitro, you see it? The Rashi. What was it that he heard? Kriyat Yam Suf from Lechemet Amalek, according to Rashi. Rashi takes this from the Midrash. And of course, these things happen. Kriyat Yam Suf after the 10 tribes. After those 10 tribes. After the 10 plagues in Mitzrayim. He didn't hear about the 10 plagues in Mitzrayim. I mean, what does that mean anything? I mean, we thought in the previous weeks, we said, what is it that gave Pharaoh the strength to refuse to let the people go when the Makot were raining down on his head one after the other? And we came to the conclusion that Paro looked upon all of those Makot as the act of magicians, And he had magicians as well. And even if his magicians were not able to duplicate Moshe's miracles, he was able in his head to think, okay, they can't do it, but they are someplace else. There are magicians in the world who can imitate Moshe Rabbeinu. So we say by Yishma Yitro, Kohen Mijamasha Mahuba, Mashmuasha Mahuba, Kriyat Yamsuva, Bilchabad Amalek. What about Yitziat Mitzrayim? What about the story of the miracle? He didn't hear about that, but it may be that Yitro was not far off from Paro in that regard. Not far off from Paro, but we have to think about it. Rashi leaves us with an open question. Then Rashi comes to explain Yitro. Like, what's the name Yitro? And he says, Sheva Shemot. Sheva Shemot Nikru'ulo. And here they are, Re'u'el and Yeter and Yitro and Chobo v'chever v'keini and Putiel. Yeter. Then he goes to explain. Why is he called Yeter? Al Shem Sheyiter Parasha Achat B'Torah. Right? There's some additional Torah material that comes because of him, because of the appointing of Dayanim, etc. We have to go into that. And then Yitro, Likshed Kayer, V'kiyem Mitzvot Tosifilo Ot Achat Al Shmo, when he became a Jew, he went through a process of conversion, Nitkayer, he agreed to do the Mitzvot, of course, Osifilo Ot Achat Al Shmo, he became Yitro instead of Yeter, right, that Vav. They added above, etc. And then, so why does Rashi tell you this? I mean, like, why do I have to know that Yitro had seven names at this point in history? So Rashi is warning us. Be sure, Yitro is a very complex character. Very complex. Because people get names either when they are born, or when something important happens in their lives, or when they do something of great importance. So Rashi explains two names. Let's say just take the first two explanations. Yitro, you see Yitro? Rashi says, Shedit Gayer, V'kiyem HaMitzvot, Osifilo Ot Achat Al Shemo. When he converted, he gets the extra letter, that vav, Yeter, so immediately we say, oh, Yitro. He didn't just by Yishma. He also came. Mashmu Arashi. See the Rashi at the beginning? Mashmu Ashama Uba. What was it that he heard? And what was it that got him to come? Come. What is come? We know he's there. He came to see his son-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, no, he came to Am Yisrael. He heard something, Shama Uba. The word Ba in this case means understand. He understood something. He knew that he was witnessing a grand event, okay? And then so Rashi goes through the various rationale for the different names of Yitro. And then the apostle goes on and says, Kol Asher Asa Elokim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo. Vayishma Yitro, Vayishma Kriyat Yam Suf and Melchemet Amalek, Et kol asher asah Elokim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo, what's the call? Ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael v'Mitzrayim. In other words, the pasuk says that at first you would think that he was like Paro. He understood, as Paro understood, that the miracles in Mitzrayim were just magic. But we see, no, Yitro really understood. He was different. Ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael v'Mitzrayim. He understood that the Yitziah of Mitzrayim, I'm telling you, Paro didn't understand. Because if Paro would have understood that Yitziat Mitzrayim was the divine act, it was God's position, then he wouldn't have chased after the Jews. He wouldn't have chased them to his own death and destruction of his army. He would not have done that. He only did that because he believed in himself. He believed that it was magic, and it would have a limit, which is the nature of magic. It has a limit. But Yitro, look what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Vayishma Yitro, Rashi says, A and B. But the Pasuk says, At Kol Asher Asa Elokim Moshe Yisrael Amo, what's Kol Asher Asa? What's all that they did? Ki Hotzi Hashem et Yisrael Mitzrayim. So even though, he knew that God was watching over them, Kriyat Yam Suf and Milchemet Amalek, but he also understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim, which was the greater understanding, the understanding that Paro was unable to achieve, neither in himself nor with his people. Pasuk Bet says, Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe et Tzipora Eshet Moshe Achad Shiluchah. Okay. He didn't just come by himself. Right? Didn't just come by himself. He brought the family. Achad Shiluchah, he brought the family. Et Shnei Baneh Hashem Shem Echad Gershom B'Shem Yamar Ger Hayiti Be'eretz Nochriya. He Amar Pasuk Dalet. B'shem Achad Eliezer, Yidavi Bazri, B'etzudeni Michar Paro. Okay. In other words, you have a situation where Moshe Rabbeinu was bilingual. He grew up in an Egyptian palace, but he also had a strong relationship with his sister and his mother. At that time, they spoke in Ivrit, I imagine. And here the Torah adds in order for us to understand what Yitro's first contribution was, that he brought the children with him. And who are these children? First, there's Eliezer. There's some kind of an etymology where Eliezer could connected to Elazor, to help. God help me and save me. Right. The oldest son, his name was Gershom. Ki yava ger hayiti be'eretz Nochriya. We don't know exactly who said that. I guess Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah tells us that even though Moshe Rabbeinu married a woman from Midian, and even though the children born in Midian and that the father-in-law was Yitro, who was certainly not part of Am Yisrael, nevertheless, the children were given Jewish names, and those Jewish, the Jewishness in the names is represented. The Jewish in the names is represented by the fact that they have etymologies. And so Moshe Rabbeinu received a Jewish name. It's true that we have the third, how did Bat Paro know Hebrew? How could she give it? But the Torah says that the name Moshe is connected to Ki Mi'amayim Mishiti, who I pulled him out of the water. And since his name had a Jewish etymology, that meant that he was Jewish. And this is the emphasis that Yitro says, even though I am Yitro, my grandchildren, My grandchildren are part of Am Yisrael, and therefore I had to bring them. And that's implied in this pasuk, in the pasuk that tells me the names and the etymology of the names, right? Pasuk hey, vayvo Yitro chotein Moshe achar eshet Moshe. I'm sorry. Vayvo Yitro chotein Moshe vanav ishto el Moshe el hamidbar asher uchonesham har Elohim. Elamit Bar, as she says, he came to the desert. Afana Yodim Sheba Midbar Hayu. We know that. Ela Bishibchoshal Yitro Dibir HaKatuv. Here's a pasuk which is talking in praise of Yitro. Shehaya Yoshev Bichvodo Shel Olam. He was in Midyan, very highly regarded, a high-level professor of comparative religion. He was sitting there on the high seat, the honored seat of Olam. And he was willing to find the truth, even to go to the desert, Mekom Tohu, a place that doesn't have any order to it. Lishmoa Divrei Torah. So you see that Rashi certainly thinks very highly of Yitro, but he was willing to come to hear the words of Torah. But who was going to say the words of Torah? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, it all came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Moshe Anichotencha Yitro Ba'elecha B'Yishtecha Zdei Ba'Ne'aimeh. So he starts. He starts his little prepared speech. He says, I am your father-in-law, and here is your wife, and here are your children. Here are your children. So Rashi points out Vayomer el Moshe, Rashi says, Al Yidei Shaliach. In other words, he wasn't standing with him. But he sent a message. Ani chotencha Yitro v'imei nata. Yotzei begini eshtecha. If you don't want to honor me, Yitro said, then come because your wife is here. V'imei nata yotzei begini eshtecha. If you don't want to honor your wife, tzei begin shnei banea. Okay, this is a little bit of a difficult Rashi. It tries to explain why Yitro did it. Why he said what he said. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Moshe Ani Chotencha Yitro Ba'elecha. Great. Then V'ishtecha U'shnei Banei Ima. There's something here in the Rashi which is not perfectly clear. Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzei Moshe Likrat Chotno Vayishtachu Vayishaklo Vayishalu Ishtari Eul Shalom Vayavo Ha'oela Vayavo Ha'oela. So you have all these pieces. Vayitzei Moshe Likrat Chotno. Moshe Rabbeinu came to greet him. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the king of the moment, he went out to greet Chotno. Vayishtachu, Vayishaklo. So the Torah doesn't make clear who was the bower and who kicked who. Who kissed whom. Vayishalu, Ishlariyehu, Shalom. And they all asked each other, Shalom. They blessed each other. So Rashi says, Vayitzei Moshe. Vayitzei Moshe, Kavod Gadol Nit Kabed Yitro, Bota Sha'ah. There was Yitro received tremendous honor. Kevash Yetzah Moshe, Yetzah Aron Nadav Avihu. Since Moshe Rabbeinu went out to walk into the open field to greet somebody who was coming, so the others, Zekenim, the elders, they went with him. Umihu shera'a et elu yotzi v'lo yetza. And obviously everybody came. Everybody saw Moshe Rabbeinu going out into the desert to greet somebody. So they all wanted to know who that was. That's what Rashi says. It must have been that way. Umihu shera'a elu yotzi v'lo yetza. Is it possible that the people were standing around, they saw Moshe Rabbeinu going to meet somebody and they didn't go with him? They didn't go out to see who that was? Vayishtachu vayishaklo, the pasuk says he bowed down and he kissed him. Eini yodea mi hishtachaveh lemi, I don't know who bowed down to whom. Kishehu omeh ish l'reyehu, but it says in the pasuk, ish, an ish bowed down to his fellow. Miyakoru ish, said Moshe, shenemar vayish Moshe. Moshe said, you see an inkling from Rashi of who was Yitro? Who was Yitro? Okay, it was father-in-law. He has certain obligations to give him kavod. I mean, it's not halachic. You don't have to give kavod to the father of your wife. But you should. It's a nice thing to do. Moshe Rabbeinu ran to give kavod to his father-in-law. So we can explain that in one of two ways. According to Rashi, Shavuot Meir, Ish L'Riehu, Ish Mia Ish, Zeh Moshe, Shenemar, Vaish Moshe. He proves it. Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down to Yitro. Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down to Yitro. It could be that he was a nice fellow. Moshe Rabbeinu had Midot Tovot. You know, he's nice person. Or Moshe Rabbeinu knew something about the singular importance of Yitro in some ultimate sense. Some ultimate sense, we see that if you just take those Rashis that develop the personality of Yitro, we start to get a picture. Yitro knew what Paro didn't know. Yitro was given special honor by Moshe Rabbeinu. All of that is something that we learn. Right? By Saper Moshe Lechotno. And Moshe Rabbeinu told him in Kol Asher Asa Hashem LeParo LeMitzrayim, Alodot Yisrael Kol Atla Asher V'Tzatam Baderech V'Tzilem Hashem. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yitro again? What did he tell him? He said, look, it's true that it could be misinterpreted, but I want you to understand that it was definitely God that took us out of Mitzrayim. Right? And that all the difficulty that we had getting to the place that we are at today, all of that was alleviated for us by God. Hashem helped us. I mean, that's the lesson. That's the lesson. In other words, Yitro was the first person that we know of who learned about the religious implications, the theological implications of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that implication is that only God could have done it. Only God could determine history in that way. And then there's one more pasuk, Vayichad Yitro. It tells us something about Yitro, Vayichad Yitro. His reaction, that's Vayichad. What is Vayichad? So Rashi says, Pasuk Tet Vayichad Yitro. Rashi says Vayismach Yitro. So the word Vayichad is like a kind of a strange word, not a word that we know so well. But Vayichad, Rashi says it like Chedva, nice, good, like happy word. Vayismach Yitro. Vayismach Yitro. What do you mean Vayismach Yitro? What is he happy about? I mean, he could be thankful. He could praise to God. He could sing a song of a praise. He could say Tehillim. I mean, what is about Yismach Yitro? Like you're just happy, you get a good deal. Zeu pshuto. That's what the simple meaning is. Umidrasho. Right? There's a secondary meaning, a layered meaning, right? He became like prickly, right? Meyitzar Alibud Mitzrayim, at the same time, he was sad because the Egyptians had all been killed. Hainu Damri Inche Giora, this is what the people say. There's a Giora, a Ger, Adasar Adare, for 10 generations, Lotivaze Armoabape, don't even insult a non-Jew before him. Okay? So again, the Pasuk says, Vayichad Yitro, and Rashi leaves us with this mystery. How could you at the same time be happy and unhappy? How could that word, it was according to Rashi, if he was happy, if that's what the Pasuk meant, the Pasuk would have said, Vayismach Yitro, would have used the word that cannot be misunderstood. But since it used the word that can be misunderstood, and that word is Vayichad, I don't know what it is. So Rashi says, Vayismach Yisrael Zeh Pshuto. That's when you look it up in the dictionary, you'll see it means Vayismach. But Rashi says, I want to remind you that there's a Medrasho, there's a Medrashic interpretation. He became kind of all unhappy. Meitzar, he was suffering. He was because Ibud Mitzrayim, because the Egyptians were destroyed. Haidu Dama Inche, and that's what people say. You shouldn't mention things like that to people, to those kind of people. So if you look again at the pasuk for a minute, where the pasuk by Chad Yitro al kol hatova, is there a difference between tova and kol hatova? By Chad Yitro, he was happy, unhappy, on all the tova. Of course, he was happy, happy with tova. And what's kol hatova? What is kol hatova? Asher asa Hashem Yisrael Asher Tzilo Biyad Mitzrayim. Rashi says, "Al kol hatova." Kol hatova. Rashi says, "Tovat Aman Vabeer VaHatorah." So, according to Rashi, Yitro was not just a person who was happy with what Moshe Rabbeinu told him, what he had learned about Yitziat Mitzrayim, what he learned about the salvation from heaven, what he had learned about the support God had given them in the desert. He wasn't only happy about that. He was happy about everything. He was happy about everything. And how can you support such an idea, happy about everything? Who's happy about everything? Tova Zaman, Baba'er, Batorah. These things hadn't even happened yet. Okay, the man happened. But the Torah certainly didn't happen. Al Kulan, beyond all the things, all those things to be happy about. Rashi says, Ajay Tzilom Yad Mitzrayim. He got them out of Mitzrayim. Ajay Tzilom Yad Mitzrayim. He saved them. Ad Achshav Lo Haya Eved Yechol Livroach B'Mitzrayim. Until this time, no slave had ever run away from Mitzrayim. Shaita Aretz Misugeret. Somehow the country, Mitzrayim, was closed up. We couldn't get in and out. It was like having COVID. Ve'eli Yatsu Shishim Ribo. These guys, 600,000 of them, left Mitzrayim all at the same time. So we learn these psukim, and we have a certain kind of understanding. Now, I'd like to add two things. One is about those words, al-kol hatova. Al-kol hatova. Right, remember? Vayichad Yitro, al-kol hatova. Rashi says, tovat haman, va-be'er, va-torah. That's al-kol hatova. The question, of course, is why didn't the pasuk say al hatova? What's kol hatova? So there's a comment that's made by Rav Nachman of Breslov, which I would like to mention. Rav Nachman Likutei Maran Tinyana Lamed Dalet. Inyan olam adal. Reb Nachman says this way: Chad Yitro Kol HaTova. Our pasuk, amazing. How did he know that? The Eitzel Stam B'nei Adam. He says, are you thinking about people? Think about people, not about Yitro. What about people, regular people? Ein Asimcha Shekol HaTovot B'Yachad. No one is happy about all the things that he could be happy about at the same time. Ki, yesh chilukim rabim binyan asimcha. There are people who kind of distinguish different things to be happy about. One thing they're happy about, so there's that not happy about. The mashal, he says, kishabaim al chatuna, you come to a wedding, you know, wish you all to go to happy weddings. One person is happy because he likes the food. Dagim ubasar. He's eating fish, he's eating meat, v'chayotze, etc. Not sure what etc. is. Herring. V'yeshechad, somebody else, different person, sameach min haklei zemer, who likes the music. V'yeshesameach midvarim acherim, kayotze bahem. He says there are other people are happy about other things that happen at the wedding. You know, it could be a comedian, a singer, a band. There are some people, some of the people there are happy because there's a wedding going on, like Kegona Mechutanim. Mechutanim, the people whose children are getting married, they don't think too much about eating and drinking. They might not even eat or drink at all at their own wedding, at the wedding of their children. They're just happy that they're getting married. It's like a weight off of their hearts. Etc., etc. Generally speaking, no one, no person, yesamech mikol asmachot biyachad. Vafilu misha samech mikol advarim apapichein. Eina simcha mikol advarim biyachad. Even if a person is usually, he likes the food and he likes the music and he likes the people and he likes the dancing and the singing and etc. He says, apapichein, eina simcha mikol advarim biyachad. It's not true. Not true. That the simcha is universal at the one time, at one moment. But you know, he comes and he says, oh, the food is great. When he finishes the food, he says, oh, the music is good. Like, he doesn't have the way of combining the different kinds of simcha that he might have. Rak mikol echad b'fnei atzmo b'zeh chazeh. Gam yesh echad she'ein lo shum simcha klal. There's still somebody who doesn't have any kind of joy at all. Lo min achila u'shtiyah v'lo mishar advarim. Adarabba, the opposite. Yesh lo kinah v'tzar. He's like, finds it hateful that they're having a simcha and I'm not having a simcha. You know this kind of feeling. Shemekaneh al ha-shidduch. He's jealous about the shidduch with the boy and the young man and the woman who are getting married, al shezem nishta dech mazeh, just not happy about the whole thing. Avol shleimut v'gadlut asimcha hi mishezochel ismoch mikol atavot biyachad. So this is something that we understand. I think everybody's had this kind of experience. Two people are sitting at the table together. One says, "Oh, it's a great wedding," and the other person says, "Oh, I can't wait to go home." This is always the situation. It's a little tricky, but Rav Nachman looked at it in a special way. And that's the words in the next paragraphs, which we should look at. V'zeh yishar, to have joy, complete joy, that everything should make you happy. Ki im kshemistakel imala al kol atovot. When he looks up and he sees all the goodness, and he sees he's able to look the Hainu Ala Shor, he's able to look at the root of things. Not Shemishamdim Shachim Kol HaTovot Visham Ba'ashoresh HaKol Echad. Everything comes together. In other words, everything is rooted someplace. The fact that we live in a world of disparate kind of events, well, that's not really what the world is. That's not the way creation made the world originally. But in fact, that's the only way we can see it, because we lack the ability to see what is really real about things, according to Rav Nachman. Because we know that all of these simchot, right, the food and the music and the drinks, etc., all of those things that we might be sameach about, all those things, if we could get to the root of it, we could find where it originates and all be one, it would be easy. It would be easy to be sameach about everything. All you have to do is grab onto the root of things. Then he could be called the biyachad kind of sameach. He's happy because all of those things make him happy simultaneously. The simcha lights everything up. That if the simcha becomes like goes in the direction of becoming one, everything is merging into everything, every kind of simcha merging into every other kind of simcha. The light that comes from the simcha gets greater and greater. As this happens, this great thing happens, the light from simcha becomes greater and greater. The light gets to be bigger and bigger. The sparkling all the simachot are sparkling at each other. Whoever is able to unify all of these simachot together, the sparkle gets greater and the light becomes greater and greater. Valkain, kishenichlala simcha, Azai ora simcha gadol me'od, when the light of the simcha, of the joy, of all these great things come together, then or ha-simcha gadol me'od, al yidei ribui yitotzitzut mizeh lazeh, umizeh lazeh kanal v'zeo. V'aichad yitro al kol ha-tova, and that's what we meant, where we sent she'yasameh v'kol ha-tovot v'yachad. He became happy. I'll call our tovot. In other words, he wasn't just listing the tovot and saying, oh, this is good and that's good. But listening to Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a certain kind of understanding of a general understanding of goodness. And his simcha was overwhelming. V'zeu al kol ha-tova, k'ayah b'stakel l'mal al kol ha-tovot, ha-tova, haino al ha-shorish, the roots of things. So sham ha-kol echad, that everything is like one, v'sham nechlalim, kol ha-smachot yachad. Al kein, hayah sameach al kol ha-tovot b'yachad kanal. So you know that Paro didn't understand that there's one God, one power, and one ability, and one result. He couldn't get it. He just couldn't get it. His mind was unable to grab onto it. But you see that Moshe Rabbeinu told Yitro the story. He told him what had happened in the Moshe Rabbeinu way of telling the story, in which God was the primary actor and mover of things. And so Yitro said, Vayichad Yitro, he was happy. He was happy about what Moshe Rabbeinu had told him, but al kol ha-tova. He wasn't happy because something good had happened. He was happy because he saw the root of happiness and joy, the root of happiness and joy. But that kind of leaves us with one one thing, and that is that the drash on Vayichad Yitro. Why is it that the drash is that Yitro was unhappy that all those Egyptians were killed? How does that fit into the Yitro story that we've developed in these first 10 psukim in the parasha? Well, I'll tell you, you know, Torah goes through a variety of changes over the years. Over the years, from the beginning of time, there was a time when you could only learn Torah Baal Peh, by heart. There were no written books of the Torah. And in fact, it was forbidden to write the Torah Baal Peh, but this prohibition had to end because people were unable to live up to it. They weren't able to learn Torah, to know the Torah, to live with the Torah, and not get the aid of a book. The second revolution in learning, in the way we learn Torah, had to do with paying for teaching Torah. Paying for teaching Torah at the beginning, nobody could pay for it because you were doing a mitzvah. The person teaching the Torah was also doing a mitzvah, but it turned out that if we didn't pay, then the people who might teach Torah would have to do something else in order to earn their way. And so that no, there wouldn't be anybody around to teach Torah, so we had to change that. The third radical change in Talmud Torah had to do with women. There was a time where there were people who thought that women would not be capable of learning Torah for some reason. But that was jettisoned in modern times, very much modern times, the 19th century, the 20th century. Whereas today it's a kind of perfectly reasonable to have to see women teaching Torah, learning Torah. So the revolution has definitely happened. It may be that there are fine tuning that is going to be done in the future on the revolution, but the revolution taking place, no one is going to go back. So that leaves, at least according to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, going to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he leaves the last revolution in Talmud Torah, which is the Talmud Torah for non-Jews. So we all know that the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the seven mitzvot that women, that the non-Jews are also obliged to keep, means that the Torah of those mitzvot, the Torah of those mitzvot that they're obliged to keep, I mean, they have to learn. They certainly have to learn. And if you wonder why there is Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, why there would be such a thing, okay, it might be in order to make the world a happier place to be. But it seems to me that the idea of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is sort of an introduction to the idea of Torah. It means that through the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the world will be opened up. The world will be opened up to Torah. We've seen it. We see it to a certain extent with Christianity and Islam. The Rambam says that certain basic ideas about Echad, about the unity of God and what unity is, Hashem Echad, made their way into Christianity and Islam. So all of that is in preparation for a more understanding time, but probably a time in which there will be a lot of non-Jews who will accept the burden of mitzvot, having gotten an introduction to the mitzvot. Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach, introduction to the Torah. And in such, if that's the case, it may be that the non-Jewish world needed a representative at Matan Torah. And the way the Torah is written, even though I know it's a machlokes in the Gemara, but the way the Torah is written, it would seem that Yitro came to the camp of Israel before Matan Torah. In a manner of saying, I'm Yitro, I represent the rest of the world. Not everybody will accept the Torah, not everybody will accept, but everybody will be obliged to do the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, the seven commandments that are attributed to Noach, right? The seventh, I mean, really, he received the seventh. Six were already given to Adam Rishon. And so that Noach, exhibiting these kind of special qualities that he had, he was able to understand, he was able to follow through, he was able to do what had to be done, and he was able to come on his own to Har Sinai. So he may be the introduction to the last stage of Talmud Torah, which is the Talmud Torah that the entire world will undertake. And so reasonably, it's reasonable that the parasha should be called Yitro, on the future, whereas the Torah itself is called Torat Moshe, a worthy name for the Torah that was brought down from heaven by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well.